Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Profit Podcast, everything NFL and fantasy football related all season long, with your host, Calvin Wright.
What's going on, everybody? Thank y'all so much for stopping by and checking out the new video. Like we said earlier, we'll be breaking down the wild card weekend matchups that are going to be coming up. Super, super excited. My name is Lawrence, aka Law, host of The Catch. And this is my buddy Calvin, aka The Prophet. What's going on, man?
I'm ready to talk about some football.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm super, super excited about it. A lot of really big games, a lot of people that maybe some teams that I didn't really think at the beginning of the season, to be honest, we're going to have, that we were going to see them.
Oh, yeah, like the Titans. This late in the season. The Titans,
oh,
for
no
me.
Kidding.
I didn't.
Yeah.
But when they switched to Tannehill, he's been phenomenal.
Right.
He's really taken that. He got that second chance in the NFL, and he has not looked back.
Oh, no. No, not at all. And, for people like that, you only really get one shot. Starting off with the Miami Dolphins, he didn't really get much of an opportunity.
Starting off with Adam Gase.
yeah, no kidding. No kidding, man. No kidding. Well, let's quick recap of the season. Mm-hmm. Man, start off by telling me who you think exceeded your expectations on the season, whether it be an NFL team or a fantasy football player, whatever you think. What are you working with?
They're really the first one that comes to my mind, a little bit obvious, but man, Lamar Jackson, he was
sure.
Insane.
Sure.
And I did like Lamar Jackson coming into the season in a fantasy point of view, just because of the rushing ability he had. But 415 points in one season, that's incredible, especially given
nuts.
That since 2002, I looked this up today, since 2002, four players have hit 400 points.
Since
LT,
2002?
Yep, LT did it in 2006, Manning did it in 2013, and now Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, they've gone back-to-back years going over 400. So that was just a phenomenal year from him.
Sure.
And I guess one other, to give another position, Chris Godwin. He was great.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially given that he's technically the wide receiver two on his team.
Right.
It was too bad when he went down with the injury late in the season, but man, for someone who was drafted in round four or five, he was incredible.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And Chris Godwin was a guy. Starting over here, Lamar Jackson, I wasn't the highest on him. Mm-hmm. I've been watching him play since he was in Louisville. I remember him playing in college, and I remember thinking, man, this guy's really special. But I also grew up a big Vince Young fan.
Oh, yeah.
So
I got the Titans jersey on right now.
Yes. Oh, there you go. There you go. So I kind of saw that correlation with Lamar Jackson and obviously Vince Young. Vince Young, unfortunately, was a bit ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, when he came in, and then just the job that Greg Roman and that entire offense, bringing in Mark Ingram.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You think of the talent that they have, even at the wide receiver position. I mean, they're working with guys like Willie Snead,
rookies.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And then moving on to Chris Godwin, like you said, he was definitely one of the guys that I had on my list as well. I was extremely high on him coming into the season. I didn't think that he would turn up to be like a wide receiver one.
I think he was a top two wide receiver. It was incredible.
No, absolutely. It was crazy, crazy. And I mean, you think of the production that the offense could have if Jameis Winston could keep it on his side, but that's kind of beside the point. My guy, though, that I really not that he flew under the radar, just because I knew who he was, but Devontae Parker.
Oh yeah,
especially being like we said with the Miami Dolphins, Ryan Fitzpatrick, but he really came on, finished the season with 72 receptions.
Yeah,
finished with. 1,200 or so yards, 9 touchdowns, finished as the wide receiver, I believe 11 on the season.
Yeah,
so.
And back half of that season, he was a top 5 guy.
Right. No, absolutely. He definitely, pushed some people through their playoffs, mm-hmm. Maybe even to whether you call it a Super Bowl or just a championship, whatever the case may be. But phenomenal.
Yeah, he came on strong.
Do you remember what his ADP was? I didn't have a chance to look that up.
It was late. I know it was late.
Oh, no, he absolutely.
Was, I mean, absolutely. During draft season, no one wanted any piece of the Dolphins. And even through the first several weeks, you could still get him off waivers. That was how late
No,
he
you're
was.
Right. You're right. I didn't think about that. Absolutely. And now that you say that about the waiver wire, actually in the league that I host, through the first couple of weeks, he was actually on the waiver wire. And he had a good game, and nobody picked him up. And I'm thinking, nah, there's no way it's going to keep happening.
Yeah.
And sure enough, man.
It kept happening.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So great season for, fantasy football for both of those guys.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But tell me who you think, moving on to just kind of the next point here, who do you think has a bright future right now? I mean, maybe a guy that showed some, showed some flashes, that type of thing. Who do you think we should be keeping an eye on, kind of moving further here?
Well, at the quarterback position, one that I think could be kind of the next Lamar. I don't think he'll score over 400 like Lamar did, but kind of that same skill set with a rushing ability. Kyler Murray, rushed for over 500 yards, 3,000 passing yards. If he can cut down on the turnovers, convert in the red zone more, he's a great fantasy option. And even this year, he was the number 8 quarterback on the season, which it felt like he wasn't that good, but just that rushing ability, it's kind of a fantasy cheat code. So he's keeping an eye on going into the second year if they can improve that offensive line. And then I've got one more, Devin Singletary. I loved him all offseason, and he averaged over 5 yards per carry, but he only had 2 touchdowns this season since Gore was there to take some of the touchdown work on the goal line. But at the back half of the season, he was kind of becoming a workhorse back. He can catch the ball. So if they can move on from Gore in the offseason, I could see Singletary being, a top 15 running back given his skill set.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I really liked Devin Singletary. I picked him up actually in a few of my drafts, just because I knew, Frank Gore was obviously the RB1 coming into the season, but every opportunity that Devin Singletary got to take advantage, he
took advantage of it.
Absolutely. And I'm sitting there eating Thanksgiving dinner, watching him. absolutely run all over my Dallas Cowboys.
Oh yeah, that so, trick play with here, the yes. throw.
Oh my gosh, man. Anyways, let's move on here. So I got one guy, a guy that I saw a whole lot of being in the NFC East, but Terry McLaurin.
Oh yeah,
out of the Ohio State, man. That is, wide receiver university. What do you think, Michael Thomas?
Michael Thomas,
Curtis Samuel.
They produce a lot of great skill positions.
They really do. They really do. He unfortunately didn't quite eclipse the 1,000-yard mark.
Mm-hmm.
7 touchdowns, but a couple of things that really stood out to me. 98.2% snap share, 4th in the entire league.
Oh, yeah.
23% target rate. I mean, and his average, yards per target, 9.9 yards. So those are definitely things that you want to look for, the number one wide receiver.
Yeah,
this
definitely.
Is a guy who I think even coming into the 2020 season, I think you could see him going into the early to mid round. So somebody that you can definitely have with some wide receiver one upside. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting because we've got a lot of turnover on the Redskins team. Dwayne Haskins, he's going to be the quarterback, and he's going to be a lot better this season. That's Terry McLaurin. When you take in consideration what he did with the coaching and quarterbacks throwing to him, it's even more impressive. So with Ron Rivera there and Dwayne Haskins another year under his belt, and if they can keep Darius Geis healthy and make that, a well-balanced offense, I could see him being a wide receiver one. He has the skills, and he definitely flashed this season.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought up the Darius Geis situation. This is a question that's been kind of floating around with me, especially over the last few weeks after Darius Geis actually went down again for the second or third time. What do you think about that? I mean, you think that this team, they got great draft capital coming up in this year's draft. There's a lot of guys, I don't think they can get like a J.K. Dobbins or anything like that.
But there are a lot of running backs in this draft.
Yeah, no. Yes. Very, very running back heavy this draft. Do you think that they stick with guys and give them another shot? Or do you think that they do spend maybe a second or third rounder on a running back?
It's definitely interesting because he's shown us he has the talent. That was never a question with Darius Geis, but he just can't stay healthy. And right. I could definitely see them moving on, given that this is a new coach, new coordinators coming in. They may want to kind of have a fresh start. But I think they keep him on the team. And right. if he can stay healthy, I would love to have him on my fantasy team next year. He's incredible running back.
Right.
But I don't think you can trust him. So that's going to be one of the most interesting things to watch this offseason is how the Redskins handle that backfield. A lot of question marks. Darius Geis can't stay healthy. Adrian Peterson, no, he's like 45 years old. So just, right. see what that team does with the new coaches and a lot of old injury-prone players, because they could right. be great, but they could also stay kind of a bottom feeder in the NFL. It's going to be interesting right. to see.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, like I mentioned with the draft capital, I think that this defense can really take a huge step up. You know, Josh
Norman.
Josh Norman here. I'm going blank. Josh Norman, you know, if he can step up his production, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm not saying, you know, get back to the caliber that you were at when you were with the Panthers, but maybe Ron Rivera can kind of spark yeah. something in that. But then you talk about edge rushers like Montez Sweat being on the team who, you know, I know the Redskins didn't beat the Cowboys the other day, but it seemed like Montez Sweat was a part of every play, similar to how, Watt with the 49ers. Nick Bosa. I'm going blank, man. but it seemed like they're kind of a part of every play. And then you think about being able to add somebody like Chase Young.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Montez Sweat and Chase Young. I mean, it really could take that defense
yeah,
to
that's a
another
team,
level.
So. That's a team that could be like the 49ers this year where no one expects anything. Sure. And then suddenly they're, you know, in the playoffs.
Sure. No, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, just kind of backtracking here, the 49ers actually allowed 27 points per game in 2018. So you can just kind of see what somebody like a Nick Bosa can do just coming off the edge and being somebody that can, you know, stop the screens and, mm-hmm. You know, the wide receiver screens and things like that. So definitely a huge, huge part of any NFL team, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But moving on, man. Disappointing seasons. As much as great football from a lot of young people that we saw, there was a lot of people that we came into this season expecting great results for. Who's the first guy that stands out to you?
Oh, a lot come to mind.
By a couple of them.
yeah, definitely. This was the hardest because you sent me the notes, and I had to pare it down to just a few players.
right, right. No, absolutely.
Odell Beckham, he's I think, the first that comes to mind. He was drafted first, right. second round, depending on league. He finishes the wide receiver 31 on the season.
Yeah.
It just, he was in a bad situation, bad coaching, but he didn't help himself much. Most career drops this season. So that's going to be another player. Interesting to see where his ADP ends up this offseason, because he yeah. obviously is talented, but it's been several years now since he's been really an elite fantasy option, whether it's due to injuries or now the situation he's been in.
Sure. No, absolutely. And, you know, I thought I was always a little skeptical when it came to OBJ, just because Jarvis Landry being mm-hmm. there, Nick Chubb, adding Kareem Hunt, David Njoku, when I thought, you know, of course he was going to be healthy.
Yeah, before the
I just thought maybe there was a lot of attention that was going to be directed at other players. Now, I didn't think that it was going to be this type of season. I can't remember exactly how many touchdowns that he finished with, but
I think it was four.
Four, right. I was going to say, I think I've got more fingers on my hands than how many touchdowns
yeah,
he got.
So it wasn't definitely. A lot.
Yeah, definitely. Who's your runner-up here? Because I'm going to see if we're on the same page with this one, because I got, burned.
Well,
burned by this guy.
I've got Ojai Howard, but I've also got the Chargers team as a whole.
absolutely.
Because I put Ojai Howard in, and I thought, no, the Chargers, that was a team that was supposed to be, you know, the team that this is their year, they're going to be Super Bowl contenders. They made the playoffs right. last year, and they went nowhere but down. Phillip Rivers, a terrible performance in many games, just off target. And I don't know if it was the Melvin Gordon holdout, but after those first couple games, they just seemed off. That team just, it wasn't, it didn't
never
mesh.
Clicking,
they missed
right?
out on the playoffs,
right.
fired their offensive coordinator, whatnot. But they were a team that had a lot of high hopes. Now, fantasy-wise, they still let some... had some good players fantasy-wise, but sure. just in the NFL as a team, the Chargers, they had to be yeah. one of the biggest busts besides the Browns.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You think they move on from Phillip Rivers?
I think they do, definitely.
I feel like, how can you not, right?
How can you not at this point?
Right, right. I mean, especially with the weapons that they have. You talk mm-hmm. about Keenan Allen.
Mike Williams. No, yeah, they've Mike got Williams, a lot.
Hunter Henry. I mean, no excuses really at this point. Now, I know that their defense didn't have the type of season that it did in 2018.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you got to find a way on either side of the ball to try and get something going.
Yeah.
So I'm going to dive into mine because this guy burned me big time. I pretty much got jumped by about a handful of my friends on this one. But David Johnson, man. David Johnson.
Man.
And here I was, man, beating my chest for the first 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
He's absolutely going off. Ends up finishing the season with 345 yards rushing, 3.7 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. I mean, finishes, I believe, as the RB37 and this guy that was going in the first round. So
he really has no excuses, is the thing. You can say the back injury, but that was apparently minor. He just didn't look the same. Mm-hmm. He was a huge bust. Very disappointing, especially at the running back position, because it's hard to find replacements a lot of times.
It really is. Odell, and Kenyon Drake, of all people, comes in and does his thing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely that type of thing. And since you dropped the Chargers into the mix, I'm going to go ahead and stay in Los Angeles and go with the Rams.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We're talking about a team that was in the Super Bowl last season. Goff, 16 interceptions. My question is, what's the deal with Todd Gurley? I mean, is this going to be a situation where we're going to see that regression from here on out? Because we're talking about a guy that that could have, you know, if he was healthy in a full lengthy career, we're talking a guy that could have shattered records, you know what I mean? On what he was on pace for.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do, because obviously, I mean, you watched last season, watch this season. Mm-hmm. He is what makes that offense click. He really is. And without him, they just weren't the same team. They didn't have that because he was a great receiver, a great rusher. So it's going to be interesting if they can get him healthy enough to, you know, use in each game. If not, you really have to wonder, do they try to draft a running back at some point? Right. Because Jared Goff, he can be good when he has an elite running back in that backfield.
Right.
And they have the defense. They really do now with Ramsey on there. So that's going to be interesting to see, too, this offseason.
It really is. And, you know, they've got a lot of money going out. Jared Goff, if I read it correctly, will be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league next year. So definitely going to need to step up on all cylinders for the Los Angeles mm-hmm. Rams to have any chance. And Brandon Cooks, I mean, he's got about 100 concussions in the last two seasons. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen with that, because that's a pretty disappointing deal.
Yeah, man.
Cooks, one of my favorite players in the league.
Yeah, disappointing season all around there.
Right. No, absolutely. So rebounding off the disappointing seasons from a couple of these guys, let's talk about a couple of the league leaders, starting with Jameis Winston. He did finish with, as the passing leader in the NFL, 5,109 yards, 60.7% completion, 33 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, overall QB rating of about 84.3.
It was Jameis Winston, I think, is always going to be Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
And with Bruce Arians coming in, a lot of people hoped that, you know, he'd cut down on the turnovers, but all it did is just make Jameis Winston even more of that.
Right.
And it was, I think that's the record, the 5,030 for 30, that will stand a long time, because it's remarkable
that
he threw 30 interceptions, 7 of which were pick mm-hmm. sixes, and he didn't get benched. Because he was good enough on the other side to throw 5,000. It was very strange.
That's a tough spot for Bruce Arians.
It's
right
gonna be,
there.
Yeah,
that's a tough spot.
That's with so many quarterbacks in this upcoming draft class, and they've got a pretty mm-hmm. early pick. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Winston, if they move on or give him one more chance.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Did you see, now we're recording this on Thursday, and this is a picture that went viral today. Did you see the Reddit guy predict exactly?
I did, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What are the chances?
Chances? I saw that yesterday. Some guy, he predicted Jameis Winston's exact stat line.
Yes, that is unbelievable. Unbelievable, man. Moving on to a guy that definitely proved his point this season, Derrick Henry.
Oh, man.
Finished this year's as the rushing leader. 1,540 yards, 20 touchdowns, 5.1 yards per carry. How about this guy, man?
Yeah, he led in rush yards. led in rushing attempts, tied in first in, with rushing touchdowns. He led in every important stat for a runner. It's just an incredible season for Derrick Henry, especially he wasn't drafted as a first-round guy. He was drafted second round, maybe even third, depending on the league. And the fact that he could come in, he really proved the point that he debunked and proved the point at the same time that you can't be a good fantasy running back without catching the ball. Because he proved you can be, but he also showed that to do that, you have to be the best pure rusher out of everyone in every category. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can repeat that or see if they can get him involved in the passing game at all. You hope they can.
Right. No, absolutely. And he's a guy that, I mean, I saw him take a couple of screen passes to the house, you know? So definitely, yeah. I mean, you know, once you start running the ball quite a bit, you establish the run, you get those linebackers to kind of bite up a little bit, and it really just opens up everything for your team. And Ryan Tannehill would agree with me on that one.
Yes, I think so.
So moving on to the receiver, we're talking about the NFL record holder in receptions with 149 receptions, Michael Thomas. Finished with 1,725 yards in the regular season, 9 touchdowns. This guy had an absolutely incredible season. He didn't fly under my radar, but he definitely exceeded my expectations for him. What do you think?
He's incredible. And he did it. He showed us the one thing maybe Dynasty or Keeper League owners were worried about is what happens to Michael Thomas when Drew Brees leaves. And he showed us he can still be an elite wide receiver one without Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. They had Teddy Bridgewater in there for several games. And he just continued to be just the best. And I think we could see him being drafted very early next year. So I think a lot of people will be scared to draft him. But I think he continues with this because he's been doing it his whole career.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. I mean, even since Ohio State. Go ahead.
One wide receiver I want to mention because I feel like no one's talking about him. Kenny Golladay. He actually beat out Michael Thomas in touchdowns. Kenny Golladay finished the season, I think, as the wide receiver 3.
Yep.
He's been so under the radar his whole career, and he did that with David Blow starting a bunch. He's someone I wanted to mention him in the exceeded expectations and bright futures, but he's someone who I think should be drafted very early next year, and I don't think he will.
No, I totally agree with you there, especially when you're talking about how healthy will Matthew Stafford be whenever he comes back. You know, of course, you know, Kenny Golladay had a lot of production when he was there. I mean, Marvin Jones even did also. So we're talking about a pair of guys that I would love to have on my fantasy team any year.
That team's just committed to throwing the ball.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. And I mean, their defense isn't going to stop anybody. So the offense might as well try to put up some points for sure.
Now, before we move on to the wild card breakdown, I wanted to say this one stat I saw when I was looking up this stuff, and it's crazy. This past year, there were so many players that were just so dominant at their positions. Michael Thomas in PPR formats, he outscored that number 2 wide receiver by 98 points, and Lamar outscored the number 2 quarterback by 78. And this is the crazy one. We haven't mentioned him, but Christian McCaffrey outscored the number 2 running back, Henry, by 157 points, which averaged out to almost 10 points more each week than the number 2 overall running back. So this year was really crazy in that there were just a few players that were on a whole other level. We don't see that every year.
No, absolutely.
So just a phenomenal season.
I agree. You know, there was people that, you know, are saying, man, I told you so. I told you to draft Christian McCaffrey. And it's like, well, no crap. We're not going to not draft Christian McCaffrey. But we definitely didn't think he was going to have the season that he had.
Yeah.
You know, 1,000 yards on the ground, 1,000 yards receiving. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal year. And the kid's only 23.
He's young.
And I don't see any type of regression. I don't see it. I know they say, you know, backs that get this type of volume, you know, they start to weather away pretty quickly, but
he's
this
a remarkable
guy's weathering
athlete.
The storm.
Absolutely. I did an article on him this past off season. I talked about him. I loved him coming into the season, but I found out from his days at college to all his games in the NFL, he has missed one game for injury.
Wow.
One game.
Wow.
He's a very durable running back. He's not like Dalvin Cook, but he's just incredible. that's all you can say. Third ever to get that 1,000.
Michael Thomas and Christian McCaffrey definitely had phenomenal seasons. You know, there's no doubt about that one. But let's move on to what I'm most excited about, the most fun time of the NFL season, and we're talking about the NFL playoffs. This weekend, we start with the NFL wild card. It's going to be a great lineup of games. Bills at the Texans. We've got the Titans. Bills at the Texans. Titans at the Patriots. Vikings at the Saints. Seahawks at the Eagles. Let's start off with the Bills at the Texans Saturday at 3:35 Central Time. And what time were where you're from?
4:35 here Eastern.
4:35 Eastern time. Perfect. So definitely going to be a great game. This is definitely, I wanted to mention these guys in my exceeded expectations, but both the Bills and the Texans. Bills, just because I didn't feel like they had the weapons on offense. I knew that their defense was going to be pretty solid, but on the Texan side of the ball, just Coach Bill O'Brien, I definitely think he's right there with Jason Garrett as bottom tier kind of of coaches for sure. But what do you think? What do you think the turnout's going to be in this one? How are you feeling, buddy?
Well, first of all, it's going to be really fun to watch. Just that Tre'Davious White versus Hopkins, two of the best at their positions going against each other. That's going to be really fun to watch. White, he's ranked second in passer ratings allowed, 46.3. is the passer rating when throwing at him. And he's been targeted, his receiver has been targeted 84 times this past season, and he hasn't allowed a single touchdown, which is incredible. So that's going to be a great matchup to watch. And then I think a lot of it comes down to Singletary, if they can get the ground game going, because that's something that the Texans don't necessarily have much of either. But Singletary... He sat out last week, but he played a season-high 96% of snaps in Week 16. He's on the field, and this Texans rush defense, it's a bottom-five rush defense. I think Singletary can be a difference maker in this game.
No, I definitely agree with you there. I really think that on both sides of the ball, it's going to really come down to the run game. You know, I'm sure when the Bills come into this game, they're going to know, obviously, Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins. Keep an eye out for both of those guys. Will Fuller will be probably extremely, extremely doubtful. I'll be really surprised if he's able to make it back into this one. Kiki QT just has not turned out to be the player this year that we saw last year. I don't know if you were any high on him coming into this season, but again, he just hasn't been the wide receiver that we saw last year. And then you talk about Deshaun Watson, a guy who's performed at a decent level, very, very well, I should say. Not excellent, not regressing, but just kind of staying the same, being a playmaker, being able to be a quarterback that can lead his team to some victories. He did finish this season 26 touchdown passes, which was eighth in the NFL, 67.3% completion record, sixth in the NFL also. And the guy can run 413 rush yards, seven touchdowns. But again, I really think that this game can boil down to who's going to establish the run, Carlos Hyde. And then, of course, Duke Johnson there. Again, just another little picture that I came across. But of the top paid running backs in the league right now, did you see Duke Johnson is the only one that's in the top 10 of the highest paid running backs in the league? Duke Johnson. Can you believe that? In the playoffs right now.
He's the highest paid in the playoffs. That's crazy. He's really just, he's a scat back. That's crazy. Now, who do you have winning this one? Because I have the Bills. I think they get it done.
A part of me wants to go the Bills. I really, really do. I'm a huge fan of Josh Allen, huge fan of Cole Beasley, a huge fan of John Brown. Just some of those underdog type of guys that you know put in the work and they show it on the football field, but they just don't get all the credit for it.
Yeah, they're a team with...
So I would love to see...
They're a team with no wide receiver over 6 feet.
Exactly. So definitely, I would love to see them win. But I just cannot count out Houston in this one. You saw Deshaun Watson play very, very well against the New England Patriots. You saw him play very well early on in the season against a healthy Drew Brees and the Saints at the Superdome. So it's just a situation where I feel like Deshaun Watson is no stranger to big games. However, Josh Allen really hasn't been a part of a big game in his career yet. What do you think?
I got
the Texans winning this one 20-13.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think it will be a pretty low-scoring game, but I think the Bills' defense is going to be able take away the edge that the Texans have on offense and kind of make it a much more neutral defensive game. And I just think the Bills barely pull it out.
Okay. Okay. What's your score prediction? I don't think I caught that.
I think close.
Hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Probably like 20 to 17, a very close game.
Sure. Sure. No, absolutely. I definitely agree it's going to be a one possession game. You know, it's the playoffs, so no team's going to go down without at least a fight, you know.
Especially
what I mean?
The Bills. They've wanted a playoff game for so long.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Another big thing is they're traveling to Houston. A bunch of crazy, crazy fans down here in Texas, man, let me tell you. Definitely. So moving on to a game that I know you're extremely excited for.
Oh, yeah.
Tennessee Titans come in at 9-7 facing the 12-4 New England Patriots Saturday primetime game, 7:15 Central Time. Again, they come in 9-7, and they come in like a ball of fire, man. What do you think?
Okay, so it's a little bit bold, but I think the Titans win this. I really do. Okay. Tannehill, he has the best passer rating in a game. Derrick Henry coming off a 200 rush yard game. A.J. Brown has been unstoppable. And New England's offense, it's hard to trust right now. Brady, he's hit 300 yards, recorded a passer rating in triple digits, or reached 18.5 fantasy points in just one of his last 10 games. So their offense has just not been there. And Julian Edelman, he's been a little bit banged up, and he hasn't been getting it done either, especially fantasy-wise. 6.9 receiving fantasy points per game over the last three games. I think the Titans pull off the upset. They've been wanting to get in the playoffs for such a long time. I think it'll be close, but I just think the Titans pull it off.
Sure. No, and for every reason to be confident in this one, for sure. I mean, you're talking about a team that can establish the run extremely well and really complement that with Ryan Tannehill's performance. You know, since he took over the team, he's 7-3 as a starter, has one of the highest completion ratings in the NFL right now. And the guy is pretty athletic, 4 rushing touchdowns on the season. And then, of course, John Brown, was able to surpass 1,000 yards this season, 9 total touchdowns. In the last 6 games, John Brown actually 4.2 receiving yards per game. Per reception, and 6 touchdowns over the last 6 games. So definitely something to keep an eye on. But ultimately, I really think that this defense that we've been talking about, from very, very early on this season, we knew that they were going to be extremely, extremely tough to beat, and they really have shown that. They've really kept this team in a lot of the ball games that they have won. If they did not have this type of defense, I really don't think that this may be pretty bold, but if they didn't have this type of defense, I really don't think that we would even see the Patriots in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, that's I agree with that.
Am I crazy to think that?
No, I agree with that. The games they've won have been, when the defense is great. But the defense hasn't been that great only against bad teams. They've been, I think the NFL offenses are starting to figure it out a little bit. I just think there's so many things you have to worry about on the Titans right now. I just think that they pull it off. Now, who do you have winning this one?
You know, I just ultimately, I know that the Patriots are very, very well, are very, very good at taking away your number one threat.
Yeah.
And I think that they focus on shutting down Derrick Henry. And I really think that that at least tightens the windows that Ryan Tannehill is actually going to be able to throw against. Now, I know we saw John Brown able to get some separation
AJ?
Stephon Gilmore. John Brown. Sorry, AJ Brown.
AJ,
yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of the Bills. I don't know what I'm thinking. But AJ Brown, I know we've been able to see him get separation against a lot of the top corners in the game. So we're talking about a very tight matchup for sure, especially whenever you talk about how hot the Titans are coming into this game.
They're red hot.
And it feels like the Patriots are still trying to kind of get going. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really feel like, oh, man, you better watch out for those Patriots. They're on it again.
This doesn't feel like December, January Patriots.
Right. Now, I don't know if you follow this page on Instagram or not, but definitely one that I would recommend called Fair Shake Football. It says, Derrick Henry has rushed for almost 900 yards, actually 896 and 10 touchdowns over just the last 6 games at an average of 6.5 yards per carry. He's averaged 23, 149, and 1.7 per game in that time. In the previous nine game, he had 644 yards. So the guy is just on a different level right now.
Yeah, he's playing at such an elite level.
The
Patriots, to win, I think they have to shut him down. But can you shut down Derrick Henry? No one's really been able to do it this season.
Can you? Exactly. And he's, pretty close to about 100% right now. I know he kind of had that lingering hamstring injury, but the
didn't seem to matter last week. Thing.
Yeah, no, it really didn't. It really didn't. So definitely rooting for the Titans. Definitely rooting for the Titans. But I really think the Patriots pull this one out in another one possession game, 24-20.
I think it's close.
No, absolutely. And I really think that it comes down to the wire too. I really don't think that this is going to be something where either team is going to be fighting from behind. I really think that they're going to be scrapping the entire game.
I'm super excited for this one.
Yeah, super excited. Anything else to touch on before we move on to the next game, brother?
Nothing much. I'm real excited about that one is all. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you. Well, if you don't got anything else, I'm ready to move on to the next one. We're talking about the Minnesota Vikings come in at 10-6. They're going to the Superdome to face a 13-3 New Orleans Saints team at 12 o'clock Central Time. It's going to be a good one, man. It's going to be a good one. You remember the last playoff game between these two teams,
right?
Oh, yeah,
that was one of the best sports moments of all time. That was the Minnesota Miracle. Absolutely. It was incredible.
Yes, sir.
Now,
yeah, absolutely incredible.
I think the Saints win this one fairly easily. Just everything points to the Saints getting it. Kirk Cousins, we know he's not great under pressure in big moments. Michael Thomas, he's playing at a whole other level right now. It's at home for the Saints. I think they kind of just get this one done.
I really do too. It's just kind of business as usual type of thing. Don't overthink it. You know, we all know kind of where Kirk Cousins stands as far as not necessarily that this is a primetime game, but A, during primetime games, and B, against teams with a winning record. And this team definitely has a winning record, 13-3 right now. You know, Drew Brees is coming in similar to the Tennessee Titans on
just
fire.
Red hot, yeah. 70,
yeah, no, absolutely.
And apart from Dalvin Cook, the Minnesota Vikings, they don't have that much. And Cook, he's been dealing with that shoulder injury. I know they've been resting him, but he's just averaging 36 yards per game since week 11. So a little worrisome. I don't think the Vikings have much of a shot in this game.
You know, I really don't either. The only shot that I think that they do have is a couple of Dalvin Cook runs to the house, and I'm talking big runs. No 15 to 20 yards. I think that they're going to need a couple of those runs to take away those possessions and actually get some points. You know what I mean?
Because they'll have to
score
fast.
I don't think they can
come back against the Saints.
Right. No, absolutely. And I mean, I just don't think that that this team is going to be able to put several full complete drives, you know, whether you're starting from the 25 yard line and you're working your way. I don't think that they're going to be able to sustain that type of game.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So definitely, I think that's what it's going to take. Dalvin Cook having an absolutely huge game. And on the Saints side of the ball, I think it's just, like I said, business as usual. You know, let the offense run around the best quarterback on the team, Taysom Hill. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's another thing about the Saints. The Saints have so many ways they can score on you, whether it's Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Taysom Hill. I mean, Jared Cook is now a beast.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
yes,
Saints handle this easily.
Yeah, I do too. I think this is the only game I have. Yep, this is the only game that I have predicted that it's not a one-possession game. I've got the Saints taking care of business 24-13 in this one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the Vikings don't score two touchdowns.
No, I don't either. I think they get a pair of Dan Bailey field goals, and that's about...
That sounds pretty accurate to me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, moving on to the last game of the wild card weekend. It's going to hurt me to talk about this one, but you're going to make me do it anyways. Seahawks come in 11-5, and they travel to Philadelphia, 9-7 NFC East champ team, taking on Sunday at 3:40 p.m. Central Time. The last time that this team played each other, Russell Wilson, 200 yards, one touchdown, one interception. The Seahawks did end up winning that game, but it was on a Rashad Penny huge game.
Yeah,
and they're not going to have that type of run game in this one.
He's gone, and so is Chris Carson.
Chris Carson.
And so is Alshon Jeffrey and everyone else on the Eagles.
And everyone else.
But so Seahawks, they really are missing a lot. Eagles are missing a lot. It's really the both teams are just completely depleted with injuries.
Agreed.
It's going to be, I think it's going to be close once again. I think the key for the Eagles, if they want to have a chance to win this one, is going to be the tight end position. That's really the Seahawks' main vulnerability. And Ertz, he's questionable right now. That's what I think it comes down to, is Ertz playing? And if he is, what percent health is he at?
Right. No, absolutely. And I think that the injury was a whole lot worse. Don't know if you caught this news, but it actually ended up being a broken rib, diagnosed as a broken rib, that actually caused more damages to his kidney or his liver. Or
I'm not a doctor, but
something along those lines. So that's definitely pretty serious.
I don't know much medical stuff, but I don't think it was good.
Right. No, absolutely.
When you
see
the word ruptured in a headline about someone's kidney, it's never a good thing. Now, the one interesting thing, Dallas Goedert, though, he's a great backup. And last week, Joshua Perkins, I guess the third string tight end, he played on 78% of the snaps, and he turned six targets into 15 fantasy points. So I think he's able, but I think the Seahawks can win this one. As depleted as the Seahawks are, the Eagles' secondary is even worse.
Right. No, absolutely. And that's the big thing is, you know, DK Metcalf coming in as a rookie this year. You know, we knew he was fast. We didn't know how much he would progress throughout the season.
Definitely,
in preseason and throughout. Yeah. And throughout the early parts of the season, we saw videos of DK Metcalf working out a lot with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is just a guy who can make anybody better. You know what I mean?
He's a great quarterback.
We're seeing Jacob Hollister come in. Who was the guy that got hurt? Will Disley.
Oh, Will Disley. There was another one. They've gone through so many, and each one comes in, and Wilson makes them great.
Yeah, no, a household name, absolutely. Tyler Lockett, just a guy that I'm sure was going to come in and just kind of be a utility guy, and he's turned out to be the wide receiver one. Still don't trust him in fantasy. I don't care what anybody says, but
yeah, he's not super durable.
No, absolutely. But at the end of the day, I just can't turn the cheek on this one to Russell Wilson. I really think, Seahawks find a way to win this game.
I do, too.
And I think the Eagles find a way to stay in the game.
I do, too.
So I don't think that it's not, it's just one of those type of things. I've got the game, one possession game again, 27-24. Another game that I think is going to, maybe the Eagles can come from behind a little bit, but I think that they always stay within that kind of one possession. I don't ever think that it gets
too far out
of hand that they got to scrap all the way
back. I think it's pretty much the Seahawks are winning by a little bit the whole game, and then they win it by a little bit. I don't see the Seahawks have enough active personnel right now to really pull ahead, but the Eagles don't have enough to really, make that strong surge.
Right.
But I think it'll be a good game. And that's the thing about all of these games. Apart from one, they're all going to be great games, we're predicting. Great close games between teams that have gone against each other, have history. And it's going to be a great wild card weekend. It really is.
Oh, no, I'm super excited for it. I'm super, super excited for it. Man, that's going to really wrap it up just for the breakdown of the wild card weekend matchups. Again, several really, really great matchups. If you have some time on the weekend to just hang out, grab you some drinks, do whatever you got to do, but watch some football, man. It's going to be great. It doesn't matter which game you guys watch. Moving on to a couple of last questions. Let's just kind of wrap it up with a couple of these. A few of these that we actually touched on, so I'm only going to wrap it up with the last couple of questions that I gave for you on the notes. But what's the underdog team that you think has a chance to really make a playoff run? You know, we're talking about teams like the Bills, the Texans, even on the NFC side of the ball.
Which underdog has a chance to, yeah. Honestly, my favorite out of these, and I know I look biased because I'm wearing the Chris Johnson jersey, but the Titans, I think they've got a great chance. They're really one of the most complete offenses. I know they don't have the defense, but they've got an elite runner. They've got a quarterback playing at elite level, and then they've got some wide receivers who are just really shining. So if their defense can step up just a little bit, I think they have a legitimate shot at a Super Bowl run.
Look, I definitely agree with you, and I know what you mean by not wanting to sound biased, but I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you with the Tennessee Titans being my team also. Look, I really think that if they can find a way to get past this Patriots team, who's definitely the best coaching-wise to adjust to what your team is doing. So if they can somehow beat that and move on to the Baltimore Ravens, isn't that who they'll play?
I believe so. Baltimore or Chiefs, one of those, but I mean, that'll be a great game.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that the defense, just the entire team as a whole, is coming in red hot, and I'd love to see them. I think if they can catch this win, I think they catch huge, huge momentum moving forward.
Oh, yeah. If they can take down the Patriots, who could stop them at that point with that much momentum? That's going to be it's a great playoff picture, really. A lot of teams that have chances. There isn't really a single team except Eagles and maybe Vikings, but even they have chances, but there's not a team that just, why are they here? They're all teams that want to compete, can compete, and very well could compete all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Man, let's wrap it up with this last question.
All right.
What's your Super Bowl prediction, brother? Super Bowl, what you got?
I got Saints in it from the NFC. I just think they're, you know, well coached. They've got great personnel, and Drew Brees wants another Super Bowl. And then I think the Chiefs, I think they make it on the AFC side.
Okay.
I think the experience Mahomes has, and the speed of Tyreek Hill, and that defense is finally starting to, you know, take form. That's what they've been missing the past couple of years. But I think the Chiefs make it. But I think the Saints edge them out in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. That's a great prediction. I actually got the Saints in the Super Bowl also. I think it's going to boil down to a Saints and 49ers in the AFC or NFC Championship. And I think Saints are going to get the better of them this time. They're not going to let the big George Kittle run, catch and run, bother them too much. I think that they, like you said, great coaching staff, great players all the way around. Drew Brees, one of the great quarterbacks that we've got in the league still. I do think that the Saints make it to the Super Bowl. And on the AFC side, not much of a curveball, pretty consensus with it. I think I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. Man. I think that they've looked, I mean,
to bet against Lamar Jackson right now.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, there hasn't been one team except for maybe the Buffalo Bills that has looked like they've put any type of pressure on stopping that offense.
I think if the Bills could make it, if the Bills offense was just a little bit better, they could take down the Ravens at some point, but I don't think they're going to make it that far.
Right. No, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's mine, man. Like I said, Saints, Ravens, I think. And you said who again? You said Saints.
I said Saints, Kansas City. So both would be great Saints, games to watch.
Yo, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Well, Calvin, thank you so much for joining me today, man. Anytime you want to do this again, definitely let me know.
Definitely.
Guys,
it's
if you
a lot
watch
of fun.
This video, yeah, absolutely. Guys, if y'all watch this video, thank you guys so much. Calvin, you got anything else you want to say, brother?
I'm excited to watch some football.
Let's do it. I'm excited. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.